All right, so we get into the word today. Felt like God laid this message on my heart, and it's really timely considering the season that we are going into. The month of May tends to be extremely busy, and we're heading into the summer, which is also busy. But do any of you ever feel like you're just behind, right? It's like there's not enough hours in the day to do the things I need to do, and I've just got so much to do, and sometimes we can get to that point where it seems like we're juggling a million things, and it's like, man, there's no way I can keep up. It's like I feel like I'm dropping the ball left and right, and if I make one mistake, like it's all gonna fall apart, or we feel like we're letting others down. Does anybody ever feel like that? Like you're letting others down because you can't say yes to everything. I just want to give you a little break, a little bit of freedom right here. You don't have to say yes to everything. You don't have to say yes to everything, okay? I'll tell you, just as a minister, I love meeting with people. One of my favorite things is counseling people, meeting one-on-one, whether it's spiritually, financially. Me and Christy love to meet with people about marriages. I love all those things. But listen, I'm going to tell you that I can't personally disciple every person that walks through these doors. You know why? I don't have the time. I can disciple some people, but you guys got to disciple people, right? And so at some point, I'll be like, man, go talk to Todd. See if Todd will disciple you. He's got some time. Maybe not a lot, but a little bit. So you don't have to say yes to everything, but because we get to that point and we start to have anxiety because we're letting people down, that can lead to us getting angry. Anybody ever got angry and kind of blown up at somebody for really no reason? After the fact, you're like, what did I even do that for? These are all signs that you need to take a break. Say, take a break. Does anybody like break time? I liked break time whenever I was working, a job where I had designated break times. Now I'm on break all the time. I'm a pastor. I just work on Sunday. It's amazing. Can't beat it. Some of you get that. Others are like, yeah, right. So what do you do the rest of the week? But you know, I love break time, but we need rest in life. Amen. We need rest in our lives, and if we rest, that's the only way that we can do all that work and also do it well. And so I want to look at God's design for rest for us, for break time today. So if you want to turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, or the scriptures will be on the screen behind me, it says this: thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all of his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it, because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. See, the creation story here begins with God working, right? We see this in Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning was God, right? He was there. He was beginning to create. We see the creation process, but this creation process ends on the seventh day with resting. We see God establish a rhythm for life. This is a natural rhythm that he established for life of man, which is work and rest. God sets the example, right? God worked, so we work. God rested, so we rest. Work and rest are not opponents of one another. So there's some people that are geared to like work, 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 work. And then you see people that are resting and you're like, man, they're lazy. Get with it, right? Get after it. You could be doing something. There's still stuff to do. But work and rest are not opponents. They're actually partners. They're actually designed to work together, because when they work together like partners, it's kind of like a bride and a groom when they come together, right? I am a mess without my wife, right? I'm like, I'm work without rest. I'm just like, go, 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 do a bunch of stuff and never stop. And she is like the rest in my life that kind of brings that refreshing and that relaxing part to me that helps bring me back to balance. Work and rest are meant to work together. They go hand in hand, and they give man a balanced life in a God-designed rhythm. So back to Genesis 2:1, it says that thus the heavens and the earth and all the hosts of them were finished. I don't know about you, but I have had some busy weeks in my life. It's like sometimes people will be like, hey, have you had a pretty good week? And usually what I say is I've had a really busy week. And many of you guys can testify to that. We're busy, busy, busy. But I just want to just run you through real quick what God did in 6 days, right? He created light. He made the separation between heaven and earth. He made the separation between land and water. He made all the vegetation. He made the sun. He made the moon. He made the stars. He made the flying creatures. He made the ocean creatures. He made the land creatures. And then he made humans. And that was all in 6 days. And you guys think you had a busy week. And God rested on that seventh day. I can assure you that as busy as what we have our in our lives, as much as we're go, 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 and we look at our agenda and it's so full and we're like, how am I going to get it all done? We'll never have a busier week than what God did in those 6 days. And I love verse 2, which is really where we're going to start to dig in here. It says that on that seventh day that God ended his work which he had done, and he rested. And on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Say, all his work. Okay, so God didn't just take a break. He didn't just go kick his feet up under the shade tree for just a couple of minutes and drink a Gatorade and then get right back to it. It says that he rested on the seventh day from all of his work. He took a real break. God rested. Let's say that together. Say, God rested. Okay, he rested. God rested. What did he rest from? All his work, okay? God worked 6 days, rested the seventh day, because work and rest go together. Let me prove it to you. I'm going to prove to you that these things go together. If you don't know this already, I know a few of you do, but numbers in the Bible have meanings. They have something that they represent, something they symbolize, and I want to show you this six-day work week, one day of rest, what this means. God worked 6 days to create everything, including who? Us, right? Including man. This is how he wraps up the work week. 6 days makes everything, including man. That does not complete his week. It completes his work, okay? Six symbolizes man and human weakness. So at the end of 6 days, he's created man, and that represents, 6 days represents man and human weakness. This is why it wasn't just a six-day work week. We need the seventh, because seven is the number of completeness and perfection. So if we just go 6 days, we just work, man is weak. We need the seventh day, we need rest, because that is where we become perfect and complete in God. This is a rhythm that God created to keep man balanced. That's what I want you to get today. So when we skip the rest and we just continue to work, listen to what we do. We continue to work in man's strength, which is weakness. We continue to work in our own strength, our own ability. If we don't rest, we continue on in weakness. Why? Anybody ever wonder why I don't mention the eighth day? What happens on the eighth day? Why do we stop with 7 days? Why do we stop at the end of the week? I want to know, what can I start back to work on Monday? Right? Can I start back to work on that next week? Well, you can if you rest, because here's what eight means. Eight represents a new beginning. See, so when you work 6 days, you're a weak man. You rest the seventh day, you're perfect and complete in Christ, and then eight represents a new beginning. Start your new week, you're ready to go, you're ready to roll. It's going to be good, it's going to be effective, because you worked through the rhythm of life that God has laid out for you. That's how you start the week strong instead of just continuing in weakness. You are not a machine. Amen? You're not a machine. Some of you guys think you are. You're not a machine. On the eighth day, after we work 6 days, we need that seventh day of rest, because the eighth day represents a new beginning. You know what a machine does? Some of you guys out here work on machines. I know Bud knows what a machine does. It eventually does what? Breaks. It breaks. That's why we have to have maintenance people. A machine will break if you run it and run it and run it and run it. It's guaranteed it's going to break at some point, but you're not a machine. What are you? A human, right? You're a human. You can't afford to work until you break down, can you? Some of you have done that. I've done that. I've been there. Work and work and work until I break down and I just can't possibly do anymore. That's not good. That takes you more than one day to recover from, doesn't it? It's like you got to order parts and they're coming from Germany or something. Like, man, it's going to be a few weeks before I get back in gear and doing what I'm supposed to be doing. We've got to stop and take a break, church. Listen, God took a break and he is God. And he took a break. I mean, just let that sink in for a minute. You got to think about the fact that he doesn't sleep, right? He doesn't take days off. He doesn't take vacations to go and relax and kind of get his bearings back. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get wore down. He doesn't get grouchy. Isn't that how you know that you need a break when you start to get grouchy? That's when I know. I'm a little grouchy. I need a break. He's unlike any of his created things, and he's all-powerful, yet it says that he rested. God had a break time, and he built it into the rhythm of man's life. God made us in his image. Amen? He made us in his image. And when he made us in his image, we are supposed to reflect his heart and reflect his character in our lives. This word rested is Shabbat in Hebrew, and it's where we get the word Sabbath from. Okay, the word Sabbath isn't here in the creation story, but we know Sabbath from Exodus chapter 20, where God gives the Ten Commandments, and one of those in verse 8 is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is one of the Ten Commandments. This isn't a place where God is instituting the Sabbath because he says what? Remember the Sabbath. Like this, I already told you about this. I already taught you about rest. I already taught you about taking a break. You need to remember it, and you need to keep it holy. He's not instituting the Sabbath. He's telling us, remember that I created you with a need for rest. I created you to need rest. Some of you are already like, no, I don't rest. When am I supposed to do that? If you could see my calendar, you'd say, there's no way this guy can rest. There's no way this girl can rest. She doesn't have the time for it. This word, Shabbat, it means to stop, to cease, but it also means to celebrate. What good is it to work, 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 work if we never get to enjoy any of what we work for? Right? I know a lot of people like that they own a business or they run a business or they do something and they work 7 days a week from the time they wake up till the time they go to bed and this and this and this and this. And it's like, when do you get to actually stop, not just rest, but also celebrate, right? Like celebrate, look what we've done this week and here's the fruit of it. When do you ever get to enjoy the fruit? I mean, you think about if I had like all this fruit just piling up in the garage, but I never had time to eat any of it. What's going to happen? It just goes to waste. And so we got to be careful here to not just we're resting just to get recharged, but it's also a time of celebration. Celebration. Remember what God did after each day in creation. He would create something, and he would stop, and he'd look at it and say, it's what? Good? That's good. You know that God wasn't giving himself a pat on the back? You know it wasn't the Spirit wasn't saying to the Son, like, dude, we did good, right? They weren't like bragging to each other. It was a pause here, and it was a celebration, right? Like, man, that's good. I like that. I think that's cool, you know? And so he would celebrate after he made something. He would celebrate and celebrate and celebrate. And I love that after the sixth day, he took a look at man and he said, what? It is very good. Okay, and a lot of times we apply that specifically to man, that he applies it to man is very good, that man is better than the rest of creation. And I believe that that is true, but I also see that as this is the end of his creation and he's getting ready to go to rest. And he's like, man, what I did this week in 6 days, man, that's very good, right? Collectively even, it's very good, and now I'm going to enjoy the work that I've done. Verse 3, it said that God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it because in it he rested from all of his work which God had created and made. He blessed the seventh day. Say blessed. This is important here. This Hebrew word is Barak. Say Barak, not Obama, just Barak, okay? Barak is the Hebrew word here. It means that he made it a benefit, okay? So you got to look at it this way. God made the seventh day a benefit for man. He blessed it. He said that's a benefit for man. It's going to be good for him. The seventh day is a benefit. And I want to show you in the creation story, God baraked three times in the creation story. There's three times where he blessed something and they used that exact Hebrew word. And each time it was life-giving ability to make more life. Okay, so I want to show you this, what this means for this day. God created the animals. He created them. It says that he blessed them and then he told them. Do you know that God spoke to the animals? He told them something. He said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth. See, we know he said that to Adam, but we forget that he said it to the animals before Adam was created. He blessed the animals, said, be fruitful and multiply. Then he created Adam and Eve. He blessed them, and he said, what? Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. And then he blessed the seventh day. It's only three times that he used the barak, the blessing, the it's good for you, it's for your benefit, and he does the same barak for a day. Now, what good is it for God to bless a day? What can a day actually do with a blessing? Well, it's not that the day gets the blessing. It's that man gets the blessing from the day. The day represents rest. It represents a break from work. It represents that man's weakness is complete and ready for a new beginning because of this blessed day. It's a life-giving ability to give more life. Right? So that seventh day, that rest gives us life. So that on the eighth day, the new beginning, we can create more life. We can be effective and powerful in the things that we do. It doesn't matter how much we love our job. It doesn't matter how much we love working on projects and being on the go. Listen, if we do not rest, we will get tired. We will continue to work in man's weakness instead of coming to a place of completion and ready for a new beginning. If you guys watch basketball at all, high school, college, pros, whatever, you watch basketball, how many of those players play the entire game? Very, very few. Even in the pros, very few of them, the best players in the world, rarely play the entire game. Why? They need rest. They go out and they work and they work and they work and they work. They have to go get some rest so they can come out and begin again. And the ones that do play a whole game, guess what happens to them? It adds up after a few days, and then they got to take the whole day off. Or they get injured, or something happens. When you look at football players, there's been times where there's been players that have tried to play both offense and defense. You know what happens to them? It doesn't last. They get burnt out, they get wore out, they get injured because they don't get any rest. If you're going to play football, if you're playing on offense, you need to go take a break while the defense is on the field. Right? You've got to have rest. God built that into our lives because it is good for us. It's a benefit for our lives because rest refills us. Rest is life-giving. It allows us to create more. God also sanctified this seventh day. He made it holy. God made the seventh day holy. This means he set that day apart from the rest. He says it's different than the other days. There's something about it is supposed to look different because it is not just a time of rest, but it's also a time of worship, right? It's not just that your body needs rest. Some of you guys are like, listen, dude, I can work 7 days a week and I feel good. Well, that's good for you, man. Maybe your body does still feel good, but let me tell you what, your soul also needs that rest. It's not just about your physical body. Your soul needs the rest just as much, maybe more than what your body does. Think about it, your mind, your will, your emotions, these things, they need rest. Some of you have tried sitting and taking a rest. You're like, I feel like I can do more, but whatever. I'll sit down, I'll take a break, I'll take a rest, and then what happens? The old hamster gets turning in there. He's on the wheel, and you're like, how long has it been? It's been 6 minutes? Gosh, I got this to do and this to do, and how am I going to get that done if I'm just sitting here? I'm doing nothing. And so now you're starting to get a little bit stressed out. You're starting to get a little bit worked up about the things you're not getting done. And that alone causes you stress, and you can't relax. So you're like, I'm not taking a break. I'm just going to keep working. Listen, you need to try worshiping. If you can't take a break because you can't shut your mind off and think about the things that you're not getting done, you need to take that moment, that rest, and not just rest your body, but rest your soul. You need to come to a place of worship. You need to come to a place of, man, I want to rest in God right now. It's not just that I'm physically recovering, but man, let me recover fully right here. Turn on some worship music, read the word, turn on something that's relaxing, that doesn't take stuff out of you. And, you know, we are never supposed to be in this place where we are just working and working and working until we're just done, okay? I've never in my life have I postponed working on something and took some time for me to draw close to the Lord and then regretted it and thought, man, I didn't get that project done today. Never, never once. I've told the men this for the men's conference. I've never regretted taking that whole Saturday off. Never once. God's always provided the time for me to do whatever it was that I needed to do on the back end. He'll always take care of me when it comes to that stuff. Listen, there's nothing more important than taking care of your soul. Nothing. Nothing more important than that. And so we've got to spend dedicated time with the Lord because it gives rest to our soul. It takes our weakness, makes it complete in Christ, ready for a new beginning. Our soul needs rest as much as our body. God made this rhythm for your benefit. Say, for my benefit. I hope you believe that this morning. Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Then Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. You see that? The Sabbath was made for you. You weren't made for the Sabbath. Some of you guys are really smart and you know this story and you're kind of ready to hear what's next, because Jesus was talking to the Pharisees who were harassing him about working on the Sabbath. And you're like, aha, see, I can work on the Sabbath. I can work 7 days a week. Jesus did it, right? Jesus healed the sick on the Sabbath. Jesus cast out demons on the Sabbath. And here in this particular story, Jesus and the disciples were out picking grain on the Sabbath. So I can work on the Sabbath too, right? Jesus did these things on the Sabbath. How dare he not keep his own command? Right? Didn't he say in Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy, keep it set apart, keep it as this time that is unlike the rest? Well, if you read on in Mark chapter 2, verse 28, the next very next verse, it says, therefore the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. He is God, and the Sabbath is God's day. It's his blessing to man. But isn't this part of the law? Did Jesus just change the law? Don't we talk about how the fact that the word is unchanging? We got to go to Matthew. Got to look at what Jesus said here. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. It says, don't misunderstand why I've come. I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not even the smallest detail of God's law will disappear until its purpose is achieved. Jesus came to show us what it looks like to obey God's commands. He is giving us the true interpretation of God's commands. This is what it means. And if you guys don't know, right, the Ten Commandments basically boil down to loving God and loving your neighbors as yourself. The first four are about loving God. The last six are about loving your neighbor. Well, that keep the Sabbath holy is in that first part about loving God. It's that first part about loving God. So what do we see Jesus do? I don't know if you really think about Jesus and what he's dealing with as you read through the Gospels, but I imagine that Jesus felt a tremendous amount of pressure as he was ministering to people. I don't know if you really think about how many times you read about Jesus when he's in public. He's always surrounded by just hordes of people. right? Hundreds or thousands of people all wanting something from him. They all want to be healed. They all want to be, see a miracle, have something provided from them. They want to hear something that they've never heard before. They're always pushing and shoving to get to him. And the pressure that he felt had to be so much greater than the pressure that we feel today with our busy lives. Jesus would spend hours of ministering to people. You guys remember a lot of times the disciples were kind of like, dude, it's getting close to mealtime. Like, we got to send them home. Jesus would use it as an opportunity to do a miracle, but I believe he also used it as an opportunity to continue ministering. I'm not done with these people yet. I got more for them. I don't want to let them go. I'm not ready to turn them loose yet. We see Jesus would spend time for hours and hours and hours, but what really gets me is all the times I read about Jesus sneaking off to rest. You guys ever realize that? He usually sneaks off to rest. It ain't like Jesus is on break time, right? And then he goes and sits down. You guys ever watch Michael Jr.? Anybody ever heard of Michael Jr.? Christian comedian. He's hilarious. You can watch a lot of his stuff on YouTube. And so in the middle of his stand-up sets, he does break time. So he gets a stool, he pulls it up, and he's like, I'm on break. He's like, whatever happens on break is what happens on break. I ain't responsible. If something funny happens, but I'm not trying to be funny right now. And it's usually the best part of the show because he just starts talking to people and funny stuff breaks out. But Jesus doesn't do that. He's not like, hey guys, I'm on break. If a miracle happens, a miracle happens. You know, we'll see. We'll see what I do. Keep you guys guessing. No, he's like, I'm sneaking out. I imagine he has the guys kind of form a line for him, and he's kind of like, I'm getting out of here because I need a break. And so Jesus would sneak off for these breaks, and a lot of times he would go off by himself, or at the very least, he may take a couple of disciples with him, or he may take the 12 disciples. And don't forget here, when we talk about disciples, there were hundreds, but I'm talking about the main 12 disciples. He would take them off. He would go up a mountain to rest and pray. And, you know, if you think about this, there were still people that needed him. He would sneak off in the midst of the people. People still needing him, still wanting him. Listen, this is the problem that some of you have, that sometimes I have. I need to go away for rest, but man, you don't understand that people still need me. Right? My kids still need something. My spouse still needs something. My friends still need something. My job still needs something. Somebody is constantly needing something. Sometimes you just got to sneak off to get some rest. You got to sneak off to get a little bit of a break. Jesus did this. He would sneak off when people still needed him. But I believe that he knew, because Jesus was in a physical body, he had physical limitations. I believe that he knew that if I don't get this rest, I'm going to be continuing on in human weakness, and I need to go get completed. I need to go spend time with the Father. I need to be able to have a new beginning when I start ministering again tomorrow in this physical body that also had a soul. I need my soul renewed, my soul refreshed, my mind, my will, my emotions. I've got to get this stuff back on track today. When he was healing or teaching, he would get to the sixth day. He would know, I need a break, right? His spiritual sixth day. It wasn't a literal one, but he would know, I'm going to remain weak. I've got to get refueled. I've got to get renewed. If God in living human form needed a break, don't we need breaks too? And I'm not just talking about always taking a nap. I've had people ask me, like, did Jesus really take a nap? Yeah, he took naps. See it twice in the scriptures that he took a nap. I believe he took a nap because he was tired. He was in a physical body. He got tired. He needed rest. Do I think he sleeps now? No, I don't. He's in a glorified body. He's in heaven. He don't need naps anymore. But when he was in an earthly body, he needed to rest, just like you and me. I'm not talking about just taking a nap. I'm not talking about laying on your couch and watching YouTube videos. This may help with a little bit of physical rest, but I'm telling you that you also need spiritual rest, church. You need that time with the Lord to renew your soul. Look at what Jesus told us in Matthew 11. Many of you will know this verse. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, which means heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Notice it didn't say in this passage, there will be no burden. He says, those that are tired and that are burdened, come. Right? You will be. There's going to be a point. There's going to be a time. But he says that if you do come, if you're willing to come, if you're willing to take a break, if you're willing to rest, if you're willing to cut off what you're doing for just a moment here, if you're willing to come, I will give you rest. See, I see this verse as the difference between the Old Testament Sabbath and a New Testament Sabbath. The Old Testament, we had this day, this 24-hour day that was rest and worship. Couldn't do anything else. Listen, you couldn't do anything else. You couldn't go out and feed your flock. You couldn't go out and pick some food for supper. You couldn't do those things. It was against the law to do those things. I believe Jesus is saying this is a heavy burden when we try to live under this law. It's a heavy burden when we try to say, man, this day, this entire day, from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, I can do nothing. I just have to sit here and worship all day long. That's a heavy burden for people. That's a heavy burden for me. Jesus says, take my yoke. Okay, take my yoke. If you don't know what a yoke is, it'd be like a lot of times with ox back then, they'd use a wooden beam, right? It'd go across the shoulders of the two, and that beam would yoke the two together. It would connect those two to be able to pull the load together, to do the work together. Oftentimes they would yoke a older, stronger ox with a younger, weaker, inexperienced ox, and they would pair them together because the old one, the strong one, would carry most of the load. And so Jesus uses this analogy here saying, I will carry the burden. Like, if you connect with me, I'm the one that's strong. I'm the one that's wise. I can carry the burden, and you just come alongside me, connected to me, get connected. You'll have to carry a little bit. Like, you got some responsibility. You got to live. You got to do something. But he's saying, I will carry the heaviness. Why is his burden light? It's because it's one of living a pattern of life where we find continual rest in Jesus Christ. It's the New Testament Sabbath, is rest in Christ. Now, do I believe that we have to take a day off a week? I don't believe you have to. I believe you should. I take off Mondays. You guys are like, you work every Sunday. I take off Mondays. I don't do any ministry work on Mondays, ever. Unless it be a literal, actual, according to my view, an emergency. Not just like you can't find your keys and nobody else will help you find them. Like, a real emergency. I don't work on Mondays. I do that because I take that as a Sabbath rest for me. It doesn't mean I do nothing. It doesn't mean I go and sit in my room and I literally just have a picture of Jesus and I just worship all day long, right? And I sing, like, I would get tired of singing. I'm not that, that's not really my gift. But I'll tell you, I do spend some time doing that, but I also spend time doing that other days of the week too. Why? Because I take a New Testament Sabbath of resting in Christ all through my week, all through my days. Every time I get an opportunity, see, we don't have to legally take that day, that form of rest for an entire day, but we've got to understand that it's still a rhythm of life that God created for us to need that day of rest, that break from the things that we're doing. Listen, God made us to have limits, and he placed us in this rhythm where we have limits, and if we decide we're not going to obey those limits, listen, it's dangerous for us to exceed the limits that God has set before us. It's the Creator, Almighty God. He invites us to join him in this rhythm of life, right? This interplay of work and rest, and when we don't accept the invitation, we will eventually reap consequences. We get fatigued. We get burnt out. We get anxious. We get depressed. We get busy. We get broken relationships because of our busyness. We get worn down immune systems. Some of you guys don't think about that. Some of the sickest people are because they work. They never rest. It's like you got to give your body some time to recover. We can get low energy levels, anger, confusion, emptiness. These are the signs of a life that is without physical rest. At one point, Moses called the Sabbath a gift, right? Because that's exactly what it is. Remember, it's a benefit to man. It's for your good. It's for your benefit. And just like work, when it's done right, it's an act of worship. You can rest as an act of worship to God. Would you stand with me this morning? Felt like as we were in worship this morning that God gave me a word that may challenge some of you. I know it challenged me a little bit. And he said, when it comes to rest and it comes to thinking about our schedule and can I afford to rest, can I afford to take a break, can I afford to spend time, downtime, he said, can you trust me? Can you trust God? Because it is a test of our faith when we refuse to rest. It's a test of our faith. Listen, not only will he provide the time, but I believe he'll also provide the power to be able to do what you need to do if we trust him and rest. So this morning, Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word. God, we thank you that you created us with a need for rest. We thank you that you created us for that need, but Lord, that also that Jesus says if we are tired, if we are burdened, that all we have to do is come to him. And if we come, he will give us rest. If we come, we will leave refreshed. If we come, he will give us all that we need. If we come, he will carry the heaviness, the burden of what we're feeling. Lord, I thank you that you are faithful to your word. And so this morning, I just pray for each and every person within the sound of my voice, those who are tired and those that are weary. Lord, right now, if they would surrender and submit themselves to you, if they would come to you, I pray that they would find rest for their soul today. Father, I pray for those who are physically tired and worn down, that you would give them some conviction to take a break. Whatever day that needs to be for them, it doesn't really matter, but that they would take a break, that they would give their body time to recover and to build strength and to heal, that they would come to that place where they would transition from human weakness to perfection and completion in Christ to have a new beginning the next day. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts today? Lord, I know this can be a tough message for some people because we just don't want to rest. God, I pray that you just put it on our hearts. What is it that we need to do? Lord, search our heart. Show us if there's anything within us that disagrees with your word today. Bring conviction upon us. Lord, we know that you designed this so that we could be effective. And that's what we want to be as a church. We want to be effective with our lives. We don't want to just be people that, I don't want people to look back at me and say, man, he accomplished a lot of things. I want them to think see that I was effective with my life in every area, in every aspect. And so we just pray today that each one of us would leave this place finding your rest, finding completion in you, so that we can do new things tomorrow. We praise you, we worship you. In Jesus' name, amen.